Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he stops robbing his own sweet song. Wake up, you sleepy head, get up, get out of bed, cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy, what if I be blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red Robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along.
Favourites to go down. What do they know? The Addicts take all 3 points on their return to the championship. Welcome to Charlton Live. Say good evening to you and welcome to Charlton Live. Coming to you live here on your Sunday evening from the Valley. My name is Louis Mendes. Joining me in the studio here as we get ready to look back at our opening day win up there at Ewood Park against Blackburn Rovers. A triumphant return to championship football for the Addicts. Number one is Mr. Tom Wallin there in your yellow Brazil shirt. How are you doing, Tom?
Yes, tribute to the old back heel from Taylor.
Yeah, I was going to say, tribute to the way we've been playing for the last couple of years.
Samba really. Football, yeah, it was, wasn't it, yesterday? Yeah.
Brazil 1970, Charlton 2019, pretty much the same. And also join us here in the studio, rubbing his hands together with excitement, is Nathan Muller. How are you doing, Nath?
Living the dream. A bit tired, a long old journey yesterday. But,
yeah, I think I made a personal best of getting back from a game that didn't, like, not going out or anything. It just, I actually got back from the game at 1:30 in the morning.
Fuming.
Train delay. Trains cancelled. It was a long one, but it was worth it, Nath.
Yeah, well, if you take the first 20 minutes out of the equation, yeah, it was good. It was a bit surreal, really. I mean, I think, well, obviously we'll talk more anyway, but yeah,
that's the idea of the show.
Yeah, really, exactly. Yeah.
Got 90 minutes yet.
Started well, wasn't it? Yeah. Welcome back. It was unexpected, because I said on Thursday I thought it would be like a bore draw, but to get 3 points, absolutely brilliant.
Luckily, as we've proven over the years, Nathan is no football expert. Charlton did get the 3 points there. On tonight's show, we will hear the highlights of that game. Nathan and Greg were on Valley Pass duty. We're going to hear, of course, from Lee Bowyer, the Addicts manager, his full post-match interview. We also want to hear from you guys as well. Let us know what you made of yesterday's performance. Let us know what you think about the fact that we are the bookies' favourites to go down, and, you know, it's a great result yesterday. I can't imagine that changes too much in terms of the thinking so far. Do you think the bookies are wrong? let us know. studio@charltonlive.co.uk on the emails. You can tweet us at Charlton Live, or you can head over to the Charlton Live forum. There's a thread on there for tonight's show as well. Later on in the show, of course, we've got an exclusive interview with Ben Hayes from the Charlton Athletic Museum. He's telling me I really need to big this up because we put it on near the end. But I spoke to Ben because they have got something quite interesting the museum are putting on coming up on Tuesday evening this week, on the Boys from the Village, the history of Charlton Athletic at war. It's going to be an interesting evening here in Charlton on Tuesday, but we'll let Ben tell you a bit more about that later on in the show. A couple of other things to discuss. We'll talk about the future of Anthony Dixall, which I think is still up in the air. We did touch on it on Tuesday. Bayer did speak about it yesterday a little bit, but he doesn't really say much. He still says he doesn't know what's going to happen. So there's still that interest from Middlesbrough, from Bristol City, which, you know, it hasn't gone away yet by the sounds of it. So we'll talk about that as well. But first things first, Nathan, as you were there, I will start with you. Mm-hmm. I mean, the I was looking at the stats just now, percentage-wise, Blackburn had 62% of the possession. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised it was that low, really, because at points in that game, it did feel like it was a lot more. But, you know, if you look at clear-cut chances, other than the goal and perhaps one that Stuart Downing had in the first half, I really can't remember too much. Now, you go up north, you stick however many men behind the ball that you need to, you work hard for each other, you remain organised, and you cover each other when you need to, you can come away with 3 points if you take your chances, and that's what we did.
Yeah, I think Blackburn really were... Either they passed the ball from defence and midfield quite well, but then they seemed to go down the road of either switching it to a diagonal ball over to either flank and cutting in and crossing it in. And to be fair, everything that was thrown at, you know, Piercy, Lockyer, who I thought had a great game, by the way, and Naby, it was dealt with. And I thought they would have tried to be a little bit cuter with and use Bradley Dack. But we seem to just, like you say, really restrict them to hardly any chances. But we let them have the ball deep because they wasn't going to hurt us there. But like you say, it's all about taking your chances in this league, and which previous years we've never done. You know, if we only have two, we need to take two, especially at this level, to get any points away from home.
It's interesting if you look, Tom, at the a lot of the sides that are the favourites to go down. You're looking at us. You're looking at Barnsley. You're looking at Millwall. I don't know what their odds are, but QPR have had a difficult couple of years. They all won yesterday. They all got good results, including us. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, only in terms of Charlton, the lads needed to go out and make a statement yesterday, and Bowyer wanted them to prove that they belong in the Championship. And you go to a side that is a tough nut to crack at home last season. The home record wasn't too bad last season, and you go and do a job on them.
Yeah, it's a fantastic start, whatever happens for the rest of this season. And to get those 3 points, like you say, all the other teams have as well, and it remains to be seen. We're going to have to wait, 10, 15 games to see what sides are really like. But we wanted to know what we were like at this level, and there's our answer. And we all said it on Thursday. This is a team that's not going to give up. This is a team that's not going to get battered and lose 3 or 4 nil. This is a team that doesn't know when they're beaten. And they're a team that are high on confidence and just have that team spirit and unity that can go a long way. And I said on after Friday night's game, because that was obviously a really good game on telly, that for me the Championship's the most interesting league in the whole of England. Obviously the Premier League's got its quality, but you put someone like Man City up against half of that division, you know the outcome straight away. But the great thing about the Championship is you pick any team against any other, and you can't call it. You just can't. And to that end, I completely understand why we're bookies' favourites. We seem to be competing with what, 8th or 9th in League One in terms of budget, and usually the league table does go by budget, so to that extent, yes, we are, and rightly so. But this is a team that have proved a lot of people wrong already, and Bowyer says we're going to surprise teams, and I think, you know, yes, we struggled in patches yesterday, but we scored 2 goals and we beat them, and at the end of the day, that's all that matters.
It was a lovely afternoon up there in Blackburn, Lancashire. Let's have a listen to the highlights. Your commentators over in Valley Pass were our very own Nathan Muller and Greg Stubley.
The 2019-20 season is underway as Bradley Dack passes back to Lenihan. Defending again from Anthony Dixdale, comes back to Travis, out to Armstrong again, who looked for the crossing opportunity. It's a diagonal ball into the box. It beat Jason Pearce, and then we saw it hadn't tracked Gallagher, who couldn't get anything on it in the end, and luckily for Charlton, it goes out for a goal kick. It's a decent looking ball looking for Gallagher, who touches it to the left, and Armstrong forward towards Dixdale, has come off of Dixdale. Gallagher continues his run. Gallagher ball into the box, it comes away of
I think that was Downing, who couldn't get anything on it. He might have got a toe. Charlton just get it clear in the end. It's the best opportunity of the game so far.
And a missed header is done by Mulgrew, and Will Taylor's on through here. Can he see Johnny Williams? Johnny Williams, if he squares it, he's going to decide to stand up. Lenihan, he comes in, he's going to have a shot with his left foot, he shoots, and it's a good save. Oh. Good save by Christian Wall, and he's going to come out for a throw. Mulgrew went to head the ball and he's headed it back. Lyle Taylor could have squared in Johnny Williams, but he's decided to shoot, and it's a good save by Christian Wall. Bennett tries a little 1-2 with Stuart Downing, but Ben Purrington is away. Stuart Downing's on his tail. He's not really got anyone apart from Taylor really up with him. He has to come back inside to Jake Forsikowski, who has loads of space in his centre of the pitch. Johnny Williams with the overlap. Can he play outside? He can with Anthony. Can he go on the overlap either? He thinks it to the far post. Ben Purrington!
Yes!
Ben Purrington scores! His first league goal for Charlton, and what a counter attack from Charlton. And Ben Purrington scores at Wembley for the equaliser, and scored for Charlton for the first goal in the Championship. What?
A superb counter attack that is. If Ben Purrington starts it, I'm saying to you, Nath, I think he's getting a little bit further forward. I think he's been Charlton's best player in this first 43 minutes. Superb run on the left hand side. He had the pace to beat down. He just kept going. Lovely ball inside to Williams. Williams was patient. He had the overlap of Dicksteel. Lovely dink ball. And it's almost a carbon copy in some ways of how the Wembley goal happened, of Purrington attacking the back post. Taylor went down in the box. He felt he was fouled. And there was Purrington just to sort of bundle the ball into the net. And Charlton, after, let's say, a slightly difficult start, have grown into this game more. And after 43 minutes,
have backs against the wall job so far. Is the ball is won by Lyle Taylor, a loose ball by Lenihan, and Lyle Taylor's through. If he can look up, and Georgie Lapsley fills the box, he's just on the edge of the box now. He tried to play in Johnny Williams but couldn't get in it, but Darren Prattley's picked it up now. Will he have a shot or will he go wide? He goes wide to Taylor. Can he feed down? He decides to have a go and he shoots, but it's well held by Christian Walton.
Yeah, I don't know if that's the right option from Lyle. Williams on the overlap, isolated against Bell. I'd have fancied Williams to take him on, but this is where Charlton are going to grow in confidence now. Blackburn are going to have to come out and try and attack a little bit more. It's up to Charlton to feed off those individual mistakes, as they almost did there.
And there's the half-time whistle. With Naby Sarr playing it inside to the centre with Darren Pratley, which is again is a risky ball. And again, Naby Sarr's played it straight in the middle to Andrus Armstrong, who spreads it out to his left hand side, Stuart Downing. Can he get a shot off? He does it. No, he plays it back. And again, it's cleared from Jake Forsikowski. Naby Sarr's with his hands up. But that's three or four times now. He's sloppy on the ball and he needs to snap out of this as Stuart Downing gets his corner. Floats it in, looking for a free header for Bradley Johnson, and it's crossed into the box, and Bradley Johnson heads, which was cleared off the line by Dicksteel, but as it came off of Dicksteel, it's hit the back of Dylan Phillips, and it's gone in for a Blackburn equaliser, 1-1.
Well, it's so unfortunate the manner in which that happened, but there will be question marks of how Bradley Johnson got a free header in the first place. I don't think Joel really that set from the corner. I think it looked like players were last minute picking up other players. The header from Johnson, just as a free header for Dicksteel to head away, and he's just headed it off the back of Dylan Phillips. The criticism is that maybe Dicksteel should just try and head it up in the air. But such a gutting goal for Charlton to concede.
Lewis Travis plays it back to Amari Bell. He's the only one back. He decides to have a little run. He can have a shot here, and he does. And he is far away. We've let him have a run and a go.
Yeah, it's worth an effort. He's starting to play. It's not going to be like last season where you expect to win every game. It's Dicksteel, the throw. Gallagher looking for his first touch since coming on. Dicksteel throws into penalty here towards Gallagher. Gallagher's got behind. Gallagher's shot, deflection. And it hits the side net, and it'll be a Charlton corner. But almost with his first touch in the match, Conor Gallagher nearly scores his first chance. Force Kasky to swing this in. Pierce with the flick. Taylor with the flick. It's gone in! Oh, Taylor makes it two! Minutes, Ewood Park.
And what did we say? We said it's about time we put a bit of pressure, and it's been all Blackburn this half, but we know what we were like at set pieces last year, and it looks like we've done it again. Knockdown and a little flick from Lyle Taylor with 15 minutes to go, and that's a smash and grab for this second half for sure, but we'll take it for sure. But
Now Bennett. It's a miscue clearance. It comes to Morgan. Morgan's got Forskaski behind him. Morgan bearing down on goal. Albie Morgan still throws up for Forskaski. Saved! What an opportunity for Charlton to kill the game. And Blackburn will now. Phillips. Justin gets in contact on Twitter. Just got to hand it to the team. They never give up. Six added minutes.
Bowyer was going mental. Bowyer was going mental.
Six added minutes. And just clears his lines forward. Lenhen on the centre circle controls. Referee looks at his watch and blows for a full time.
Come on!
Have managed to come away at Blackburn and take all 3 points.
Oh yeah, 3 points on the opening day of the season up at Blackburn Rovers, despite a massive 6 minutes of additional time. I still can't work out where on earth that came from, but Charlton saw it out fairly comfortably in the end and take the 3 points. And you know, with all the talk that we've had before the season, Nave, to go in and hold our own in a performance like we did, I mean, that's huge for us. That was a brilliant performance and the perfect tonic, really, for you know, another difficult summer.
Yeah, exactly. I think after we've spoke about it already, but the first 20 minutes, we were off the park with them. They were two steps ahead of us. We couldn't press. We couldn't get near them. And the key is that we stayed in the game. And when you stay in a game and then you can try and you can break like we did and scored, it sets you up. And I think once we had something to hold on to, I think, you know, we was looking, you know, they still had a lot of ball, which you'd expect, but we were still quite comfortable. And even when we scored the winner, I said to Greg yesterday, I felt so comfortable. I never see him scoring, because all they had was these long balls in the box. And the way Piercy and Lockyer defended yesterday was incredible. So, but yeah, it's a great performance all round. And but yeah, you need to have that. You need to have that that work rate in abundance, which we do.
I mean, looking at the goals themselves, the first one is a good run from Forskaski, wasn't it? And then just laid it to Johnny Williams. And how about that for a creative little dink? Exactly the sort of thing that Johnny Williams is expected to bring to this side. I remember when he first signed sort of midway through last season, we were sort of saying, oh, well, you know, he looks great on the ball, but we're not really quite seeing enough end product yet. But he started the season with an assist here today and a lively performance. When we are under the cosh away from home, like we saw yesterday, and having to defend in numbers, you need your players who can bring the ball out. And Williams was one of those that our main outlets for us yesterday. He ran with the ball, took the pressure off the defence at times, and looked to try and create things.
Yeah, he was. I think in the first half an hour or so, I mean, he was playing just off sort of Lyle Taylor, and he wasn't really getting much of the ball because Travis and Johnson was shielding him quite well. But as he started coming out wide, when obviously we bombed the wing backs on, he started getting a bit more space, which is where we got the goal from. But like you say, we was always saying, you know, is he going to get goals? Is he going to get assists? And yeah, it's great for him and obviously us for him to start that way, because I mean, I think this is Williams' level, or Williams, as I said in there. This is his level, I think, and I'm delighted for him because he's going to be a good player for us this year.
And Ben Perrington getting forward, 2 goals in 2 now for him, 53 days apart, but it all counts. And you know, we saw it again. I mean, he's playing in the left wing back position in the formation we utilised yesterday, rather than the left back position, which does give you a little bit more license to go forward, perhaps, than you would if you were just playing at left back. But we saw it towards the end of last season, more and more often he'd bomb forward and arrive late in that penalty area. So I wouldn't be surprised if that wasn't going to be his only goal this season, because 2 or 3 times, you know, we're going to see him arriving in that box now.
Yeah, I think with Ben, we know he's a steady Eddie and he'll give you a 7 out of 10 every week. And we know Lewis Page is good at going forward. So if you could have a hybrid of the two, it'd be great. But he has improved from when he first started, when he first came on loan here. And he's done it at the back stick for Wembley. He's done it again. So yeah, I can't see him, you know, getting more. But yeah, he played very well yesterday. And I don't know how long Page is out for, but he's a definite good replacement, and he is improving going forward. So it's all looking good.
Yeah, Pagey was 2 to 3 weeks, or 3 to 4 weeks, wasn't he, a couple of weeks ago? So hopefully he's on the mend. The equaliser just the sort of 10 minutes into the second half, just shy of. Tom, I mean, Dylan Phillips is luck. He can't believe, because he's a solid goalkeeper, and obviously there was an error at Wembley that which is all very much behind us now, and he's thinking, right, I'm going to go out, I'm going to set my stall out, make some good saves, which he didn't have to make too many, but he made one or two from long distance shots that he held on to. There was one from Bradley Dack that he dealt with, and he was playing well. He a couple of great claims from deep crosses or corners into the box as well. But I mean, there's absolutely nothing he could do, or probably even knew about that. You know, you're standing there minding your own business, and all of a sudden the ball's smacking you on the back of the head and going into the roof of your net. I mean, it looked really funny, which is a bonus, I guess.
Yeah, I was obviously wasn't there yesterday, but was following it. And then I see the goal pop up and it says Phillips' own goal. And I was like, oh God, because obviously Amos has come in. They're supposedly fighting it out for the number one jersey opening day. And you're just thinking if he's made some horrible mistake, then that could be it. But then obviously seeing the goal back, there was, as you say, nothing he could do. And it was funny in terms of seeing it. And at that point, even I was at half time, even at 1-0, I was kind of like, right, if we come out of here with a point, I'm more than happy. And then that goal goes in relatively early in the second half. And I was like, maybe we're not even going to get out of here with a point. But yeah, really frustrating. As I think you've both said, and I think we all said on Thursday, we expect to be quite defensively sound in terms of pretty solid. And from the sounds of things, we were largely yesterday. So to score an own goal and that be the cause of going level is frustrating.
Now, the winning goal, of course, we will talk about other aspects of the match, but the winning goal, a lovely flick from Lyle Taylor, forced Sikaski's corner. Jason Pearce, you'd always fancy him to go and win a ball in the air in the opposition penalty area, but Taylor just peeled away, no man on the post, which helps, of course, but he was able to get a really deft little flick on it, and in off the post it goes. And it's... You know, Lyle Taylor is making the step up to the Championship now. He's at that point in the career where he's proved himself in League One and League Two. But when you're going up to the Championship, I mean, that's a whole different kettle of fish, isn't it? So to get off the mark so early on with a winning goal as well, I mean, that's going to do his confidence a world of good. Not that he's ever lacked it, to be fair.
No, exactly. I don't think he obviously doesn't lack any. But I think if there was, let's say, there was like 10 games go past and he hasn't scored, it might start playing on his mind a bit, maybe, because it is a step up. But yeah, it was a great great ball in by Jake, to be fair, who's what was his first 90 minutes, wasn't it? So it was good for you to get that under his belt. Good little flip by Piercy, and obviously Lowell improvising as he usually does. And yeah, it was good because obviously on his Championship debut, and hopefully we can get someone in to help him, because I don't want the burden to rest on all of his shoulders in a division above. So, but yeah, delighted for him. And I thought he played well yesterday. I thought on his own he was isolated a lot of the time. But I thought when needed, he did try and hold the ball up and bring others into play. So yeah, I was happy for that.
You could see him getting frustrated, I think, maybe just in the first half, just as the whole team were in the opening sort of stage of that first half, where the whole team were really struggling to get out of our own half. But yeah, as the game grew, he grew into it as well. And you know, he had a chance, which we heard in the highlights, not long before we scored the opening goal, had a decent effort just after the opening goal. And then a couple of shots in the second half that eventually led to him scoring the winning goal again. Now, I mean, you go up with 13 minutes left, you're expecting the kitchen sink to arrive forthwith, but it didn't really for me. I mean, we bought on Albie Morgan, Deji Oshilaja came on for his debut in injury time as well, and we saw it out pretty comfortably. I don't think there was a real sort of a scary moment.
No, there were. I mean, when we went 2-1 up, I was expecting Mowbray to bring on Ryan Nyambi, who's a big guy, and get more balls into the box. But he brought on James Buckley, I think it was. It was his first start, or a really young kid. He's really small. And I was thinking it was a bit of an odd decision. I was thinking they were going to go, right, like you say, kitchen sink, just lump the balls in the box, because we took Nabi off at that stage, so we didn't have as much height as we did, but we still had fairly tall players in there. And but yeah, like I said, when we scored that second goal, I felt really comfortable until the 6 minutes went up. But yeah, I couldn't really see him doing anything.
Yeah, no, the 6 minutes was still, I'm still baffled by that. It's outrageous. I mean, all right, you mentioned Nabi there. I think we should bring him up, because you know, in particular in the first half where we were struggling to get a foot on the ball, I think he gave away a free kick when we tried to play it out from the back and got himself booked. He gave away the ball that led to the goal. At the start of the second half, he led to the corner that led to the goal. I mean, again, maybe we're nitpicking here, but there was just a couple of times where he looked a little bit nervous on the ball, which again, it isn't something we're really too used to from Nabi. And he did get hooked for Gallagher as well for his debut. So, I mean, was that a change of tactic from Bowyer, or do you think it was because he wasn't having the most comfortable afternoon?
Yeah, I'm not too sure. I mean, with Nabs, we all know that he's good on the ball. I mean, the diagonals were working fine as usual, but it was when he was getting the ball in tighter areas, he was taking either a touch too many or dallying on the ball, if we can call it that, but which he needs to get out of his system, that he's not going to get as much time in the Championship that he did last year. And maybe it was just a learning curve and it was just an off day. He didn't play... really bad or anything. It was just the moments that he got caught out on led to a goal. But in terms of the sub, I'm not too sure, because I was thinking if it was I didn't know if Deji was going to come on or whatever. But you mentioned Gallagher. I thought Gallagher would play really well when he came on and offered us something different.
Did Bayer switch formation at that time? I think so,
because then you would have had Lockie and Piercy, and then that's when Gallagher come out. And yeah. It looked like we went to more of a 4-5-1.
Yeah.
And then Albie was on the left and Gallagher was on the right hand side. But yeah, I mean, it's Naby, like I said, for everyone really. There were a couple of other players. I think like Jake was a bit off it in the first half, but I don't want to go too much, like you say, because it'll be nitpicking, but yeah. It is the first game of the season and I'm sure they'll all improve once we get the minutes.
And Bayer says it himself, but even when we were playing that free, and like I say, that there was one or two maybe hairy moments in that first 20 minutes or so. There was one cross, wasn't there, that Piercy missed, and then one of the strikers, I think it might have been Gallagher, he couldn't quite get a good contact on it. There was another one where it was Armstrong, wasn't it, on the far side. It got beyond Dick Steele, low cross into the middle, and Stuart Downing probably should have scored. They were maybe the one or two of the hairier moments. But other than that, we tended to be dealing with crosses pretty well, and defensively we were staying in the shape. There were a couple of long shots, but there's going to be long shots in every game if you're defending well. That's not something to worry too much about. So I think, like, tactically, you know, and both, we know we're not going to have the most amount of possession when we go away from home. Probably in pretty much every game this season. We're in the Championship now. We're not in League One. We're not going away to AFC Wimbledon or to Rochdale, where we're going to go and dictate the game. We know we're going to have to. We've had to change our style, and I think what we saw yesterday was a style that we could make work for us.
Yeah, I think the only problem we had in the first half, in my opinion, anyway, is that we had the. Obviously, the three centre halves and the two wing backs, but we were more like a back five. We didn't really have the wing backs, and you've got Jake and Prattley, who are quite deep line midfielders. So what you had is you had the five, and then you had them two, and then you had Lapsley buzzing around. So then, as soon as we did win the ball back, the back five were so deep and so far away from the midfield, they had to go to Lyle long or quite direct in the channels. But there was no support, so it was just kept coming back. But yeah, we did. Deal with a lot of crosses, and that's where Blackburn thought they were going to be quite strong with Gallagher in the box. But like you say, we just dealt with everything. So defensively, I think we're fine. I just think yesterday you could really tell where we were lacking in quality in the midfield, and I think that was really telling. But that's, I think, every single one of them, don't you know, put a shift in, and can't fault that from.
Lovely stuff. I mean, Tom. Nathan mentioned George Lapsley there. It's interesting how his role is probably even more important this season, because we're not going to be in possession as much. And Prattley did it as well yesterday, although he concentrated mainly on Dak. But someone like Lapsley going away from home, where we're not going to be in possession, he can just, like, using the phrase that Nathan, he can just buzz around, can't he? He can really get into people's faces, and he's got endless energy in his legs. And, you know, on yesterday's performance and going forward, I think he could actually be quite important this season.
Yeah, definitely. That's exactly what we need. And you go back to someone like Naby, he's one of them, at this level, one of them luxury players, really, because you're right, we don't have as much time on the ball. And we need players that can dig in. It's a cliche, but going up north to a team like Blackburn, it's not an easy game. It's going to be a physical game. And I think both me and Nath said we wouldn't have started him yesterday, but that was the decision that was made. I think he will play at home a little bit more, because hopefully we'll try and take it to oppositions more than we will away. But either way, we've said we're favourites for relegation. We're going to have tough games. And when you've got battlers in there, people like George that will just tear around, try and put out fires, just get in the opposition's face, just almost like a little terrier. I think we've described him as that a few times, and just basically annoy the opposition in the middle of the park. I think it's such an asset to have. And yeah, it's a big, big season for him. And I saw him, I think it was today even, on Instagram, just point out that this time last year was his first ever full game or starting up at Sunderland, and now he's playing Championship football. So it's a fast progression for him, but if he can play like he did yesterday, then that bodes well.
Now, man who's at the other end of the experience spectrum, of course, is Darren Prattley, and we saw how useful his style of play, knowledge, experience was towards the end of last season in the playoffs. You know, think about how well he played at Wembley, and he put in the same performance yesterday. Now, Bowyer gave him a specific instruction to keep Bradley Dack quiet. And, you know, because it's funny, because we speak to Bowyer, and we'll hear it in a minute on the show, he mentioned Prattley on the way home and in the interview. And on the way home, I was thinking, I can't really remember Darren Prattley too much. But then I thought, well, if he was marking Dak, and I honestly cannot remember Dak much other than having a long shot, then he's clearly done what he was supposed to do. He just kept him quiet, kept the ball ticking over when he needed to. And, yeah, it proved invaluable yesterday.
Yeah, he did. And like, that's what we were saying. He didn't really do anything. And we've got to remember that we all know that Darren Prattley isn't going to get the ball and spray the ball and, you know, do the lovely stepovers. But he is... You know, he's like Ron Seal. He does whatever it says on the tin or whatever the blooming phrase is. But what the good thing is, I think yesterday, if Prattley didn't play, I would be surprised if we won yesterday. Because I think in that midfield, when we were backs against the wall, it's a time like that when a Prattley sort of type of player will be saying to lads, right, let's stay in the game, keep it tight, keep it simple, da 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 da. And like you say, he kept that quiet. He was their joint top scorer yesterday with last season with. With Mulgrew, about 15 goals or something. So for Prattley to still come in at a championship and keep that quiet, he's a good player. So, yeah, I was happy for Pratters yesterday, but I don't think he'll be playing regularly, and I think he knows that as the season goes on. But yeah, he kept one of the best players in the division quiet yesterday.
Now, you mentioned Conor Gallagher on loan from Chelsea, 19-year-old young midfielder, only signed on Friday. He was out there training on Friday morning. So they haven't had too much time to work with him, only one session. But, you know, Bowyer gave him a chance, sort of half an hour from the end, 25 minutes from the end. He looked lively. Mm. He moves the ball quite nicely. Got forward for that quickly taken throw. His shot deflected just wide. You know, for a 19-year-old, his first appearance in senior football, I imagine that was a very satisfying afternoon for him.
Yeah, it was. And I think, obviously, those who were there would have seen it. But those who weren't, he has a lot of enthusiasm. He runs a lot, which I think Gallen did say he does. He's always looking around, seeing what he's, you know, his awareness is good. He's quite clever, like you say, like Stubbers said on the comms, the shot. And he had a couple of chances where he had it on the edge of the box and people would have probably had a pop at go, but he tried a little 1-2 in the box. And yeah, he looked very, very lively. And like you say, considering he's only with the lads for a day, he looks promising. But obviously I'm not going to start raving him too much, but he does look a very, very tidy player, which you can, you know, that Bowyer's not going to get a little dim low in the middle of a pitch. So, but no, he looks very, very good. And
that rules us out then, unfortunately. Right,
especially if you ask at least, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And of course, Albie Morgan came on. So Deji came on for literally an injury time. So he got to play probably 4 minutes longer than he was expecting because he did get 6 minutes of injury time. But so we can't really judge him too much. He looked fine. Mm. Albie came on for the last 10 minutes, involved in that. That move that led to that chance for Forster Kaski, where we could have sealed it with three, that would have taken the pressure off with 3 minutes left to go. I'm sure Jake will think he might have done slightly better with that, but he was in the right place to collect it. And, you know, it's good signs that we're still going forward to try and win that. But Albie, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him, because Bowyer did say in pre-season that he was expecting for him to go out on loan. Mm. But so over the course of the next week, if he's getting championship football as it stands, I wonder if that has changed anything. I mean, obviously, we're going to try and get people in, so that might push him a bit further down the pecking order.
Yeah, it's difficult with Albie because I know a lot of people don't want him to go out on loan. And it's hard because I want him to see him and play and watch him flourish here. But he does need regular games. He does need to learn the game a lot more. Although when he came on yesterday, he won some important free kicks when he came on by holding up the play. But he does need games. And he's one of those players that they're quite a luxury. So if you're away from home, if you're going to start him, he's... Not like you're playing with 10 men, but he's not really there to do the defence side of the game. So the only way I would see if he does stay and he plays a lot more will be at home. And maybe the odd cameo appearance, but that's not really good for him at this age. He's had a taste for it now, and I think he needs to go and play at a side that, you know, not just any old side, but a side that plays football in, say, League One and get a really good season under his belt. And I think that should happen, even though I'd love to see him flourish here.
Yeah, excellent stuff. Right, let's hear what Lee Bowyer had to say in just a few seconds. Don't forget, we want to know what you thought of yesterday's performance, how you think we're going to get on this season. Obviously, we're still in the market for transfers before the window closes on Thursday. So it'd be interesting to know if you've got your eye on anyone that we could utilise. Yeah, just let us know. Email studio@charltonlive.co.uk. You can tweet us at Charlton Live or head over to the Charlton Live forum to have your say on this evening's show. There's plenty of comments already that we're going to come to shortly. But first of all, let's hear from Lee Bowyer, the Addicts boss, of course. Very pleased, I imagine, with yesterday's win. I asked him if that was the perfect way to announce your return to Championship football.
Yeah, the boys were unreal, you know, from start to finish. Said to them, look, go out there today and give me everything and prove to everyone that this is where you should be. Because a lot of people were doubting us and obviously we're favourites to go down. But with the group I have, like I said many, many, many times last season, with the group we have, that they just will keep fighting and battling, you know, and we have quality as well. And I just said to them, like, we didn't even play as well as what we can. No, like in possession, I thought we was give it away more than what we would normally, you know. So, but defensively, I thought we were solid. Not really any chances that I can think off the top of my head that I think they should have scored there. I think tactically we got it right. Okay, they had possession, but we're away from home. They're the home side, so and they're a good side. Don't forget they finished mid-table, around the mid-table last season, so they've got players that can hurt you, and we had to respect that. I thought Darren Prattley was unreal today, unbelievable. His experience just shone, and I gave him a job to mark Dak, because Dak hurts you, and he done that so well. I just said to him, you should all be proud of yourselves. You know, you've gone out there today and you've proven that you deserve to be in this division.
So you know at times you're going to be under pressure, but when your chances do come, you have to show your clinical side, and that's what we saw there right at the end of the first half, a brilliant move and a good finish from Ben Perrington.
Yeah, Ben done unreal. He obviously won it on the edge of his box, run most of the length of the pitch, and then Johnny Williams, great bit of magic, and picked him out on the far post. So, all of them, from back to front, you know. I thought that was all outstanding. And the goal the goal they scored has come off the back of Deal's head. Like, they've not scored a normal goal, if you like. But I don't even think we rode our luck or anything. I can't. There's not many saves that Dylan and Willie had to make. So I just thought it was a good, solid away performance, you know. And I thought we deserved the win.
And you said in the week you were going to be asking your players to fight for each other, and that's what you have to do when you go a goal up again with 13 minutes left and then 6 minutes of added time, which I'm not entirely sure where that came from either.
No, I don't
know. They showed their fighting spirits towards the end there.
Yeah, but and like I said earlier on in the week, that what we have is that would give us 10 points over the season, and it's given us three today, you know. So they're togetherness and they're fighting, and they just don't give in, and they always believe, yeah, we're going to win, because that's what we've done. We've drummed it into them, like, look, you don't lose. There's going to be times we're going to lose at home, lose away, but their attitude it won't be through lack of effort.
You made a change sort of midway through the second half, threw on your Chelsea loanee, Conor Gallagher, and you look quite lively in spells today.
Yeah, he's the kid can play. Obviously, we have to work with him. He only came in yesterday. So I thought he done really well when he came on, such a young lad, and to be thrown in like that. I thought he done really well. So I don't think he gave the ball away. Nearly scored. Little deflection, took it wide. So I thought he looked good.
And of course, Lyle Taylor, you set him a goal target for this season. I guess he started in the best possible way today.
Yeah, I said to Steve Gannon, I think he'd get 20 again. I think he'd get 20. He scores goals, that's what Lowell does, and not only that, his work rate was outstanding as well. Like I said, from back to front, I thought we was really good all day.
So a brilliant start today, and of course now a big week coming up for you. You've already got one from Chelsea, and you're hoping to fill in that squad now as the transfer window comes to a close.
Yeah, and that's what I just said to the players. Look, we've just done well. We've come to a side that finished mid-table last year, and we've won away from home. And we're going to get stronger because we're going to be bringing in more bodies. So we've got to bring in four or five. That's a fact. We have to. And once we do that, hopefully we get the right personnel and then we'll be fine.
How tricky have you found that in terms of bringing players in, Lee? It's not easy for any club, but you've had particular problems, I suppose.
Yeah, our budget is tiny, so what we can offer the players is very small for this division. So it's hard, you know. Whenever we think we've got someone across the line, then someone just comes over the top of us. And that's including League One clubs. They're doing it as well, right? So it's difficult, but the people we are bringing, like the Connor there, he's a good lad, and Chelsea know that they're sending him somewhere where he's going to improve and get to play men's football and learn. So yeah, we will get players, but it's just it is tough.
You've got to get the right ones as well, because we've seen today that the spirit that you've got to get the balance right. You can't have people coming in with egos that are going to upset them.
Yeah, no, for sure. If I'm going to get a 7 out of 10, a 7 out of 10, a 7 out of 10 every week, or I'll bring in someone that's going to be a 9 for 2 weeks and then 5 for the next 7, there's no point. He won't fit in it. It has to be someone that's willing to work hard and put their body on the line every game, because that's what we're going to have to do when we play in this championship. Because, like you see there, it's relentless. The intensity and the physicality of it is tough. So we have to bring in the right person who's got the right mind frame as well to be able to handle that.
You've had some great highs, obviously, throughout your career, but you're on the pitch at the end. It's the first game of the season. You're away at Blackburn Rovers, who have added lots of players and great youth and experience in that team. I mean, what did it mean to you in front of your fans at the end?
It means a lot, because I honestly believe in our group, and I'm lucky enough to be in charge at a great football club. Charlton's a great club and great traditions, and to manage my team here today at Blackburn, which is also a great football club, you know, and they have a great manager in Tony. It's really proud, like it's really good, and I'm loving it.
Is that competition for the unluckiest goal of the season over and done with already?
I think so.
Crackers, wasn't it?
It's crazy. He's hit him on the back of the head and gone in. I thought, maybe Anthony headed it onto one of their players and headed it in. Yeah. But it didn't. Once you see the replay, it's like, what's your luck like? That never happens. When does that ever happen? But that just sums us up. That's the type of thing that happens to us.
Cheers,
thank you. Jake Fosikowski, starting in that game, you looked really, really good, really solid. What do you take from his performance, and how has he done going into this game through pre-season to make sure he's ready for this season?
I think it's good for Jake that he's got 90 minutes into him, especially after what happened last year. I think that was a proper test for him today. I think he done well at times and not so well at other times, you know. I think the physicality of it was maybe a bit difficult for him at times, because you've got to remember he missed a year of football, so to come out here and run around and fight and compete for everything like he should be proud of himself, you know. They all should. They've all done outstanding today.
It was a bit tricky in the opening stages, because Rovers really put you under pressure, but it looked like after those defensive mistakes you were able to really, you know, turn the game back on its head. Tom Lockyer and Jason Pearce had a few moments where it was a bit wobbly, but they've seemed to come out of that really strongly and play really, really well.
I think when we had three at the back, whenever they was crossing it, I thought we looked solid. It was always us that was getting to the ball first. Okay, the odd clearance is not going to go where you want it to go, but they're human beings, you know. But I thought all of them, back five, goalie, I thought everybody, midfield, low up top on his own, which is difficult, but you know what you get from low, and he got his reward with the goal at the end. So yeah, I thought it was a great away performance.
Cullen trying to take his man on, chip ball back across, Bowers there, Pearce is there, Bowers with a header, and it's Jones!
Yes!
He's got it! Oh, Patrick Barr, you absolute German beauty! Woo! Dreamland! Charlton have scored! With seconds remaining!
We've done it, Tom!
Get in! Come on! What a time to be a hero!
Here at Wembley!
Oh, my word! Oh, my word!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live there. I imagine that jingle is going to get an airing on every show forever. Not even just our show. They should put it on, like, I don't know, BBC News or something. Just every day. Just cheer everyone up, apart from maybe the Sunderland fans.
I was going to say, not the Roker Report.
Yeah.
True again.
You're not on the Roker Report this week, are you, Nath?
No, not for another year at least. No.
All right. Not on Love Sport this week, are you?
No.
All right.
Millwall pod?
Yeah.
Spurs pod?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Traitor. So, Lee Bowyer there, he's not a traitor. He's a Charlton through and through, and he clearly pleased with what he saw yesterday. You know, he knew what his side was going to be up against in terms of setting him out to defend at times when we had to, but he was pleased with how his tactics worked and how we dealt with balls into the box. Now, he mentioned about the bookies odds to go down, because then we'll hear from Ben Purrington in South London Press paper website tomorrow, and we'll hear it on Thursday's show as well. But I asked him about it, and he didn't seem that bothered about the fact that the bookies have said, or he's not saying it. But I mean, if I was Lee Bowyer, and the fact he mentioned it as well makes me think he goes into that dressing room, gets up the betting website, yeah, and says, "See that? That's what you've got to prove wrong." And yeah, that's got to motivate him, surely.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I was him, I'd be pinning it all over the dressing room just to remind him. Because, as we've said plenty of times, that's the sort of spirit and culture he's built up within this group. And that's not to say they're not talented at all, because there's a lot of quality in there. But this is a huge step up. And we saw that for the first time yesterday. We're going to see that again every single week now. And what's going to get us through is that unity and that team spirit that we have. And it's only going to carry you so far. Bo says it'll probably get us 10 or 15 points, but that's 10 or 15 points we wouldn't have if we just had an ordinary group of players or an ordinary manager. And I just don't think we have. And it's not the first time since I've been a Charlton fan that I could say that about one of our squads, you know. And I think we are quite blessed in that way, that we seem to get managers in who can find squads like that. It's going to be tough, but he's just so defiant, isn't he, in the face of any adversity. And again, it's something we came back to last week as well. He just doesn't accept anything to be right. He's always out there to prove people wrong, and so far he's been doing it pretty well.
Now, obviously, we're talking about the players are going to have to come in, which we will mention. But first of all, I mean, we should mention Sir Anthony Dick still. We heard it on Thursday's show. Bayer says he doesn't know what's going to happen. Now, when you hear that, that's always, okay, that's interesting. If he comes out and said, "I don't think he's going to leave," then you think, fine. But he says he doesn't know what's going to happen. Some people suggesting that Middlesbrough or Bristol City may have got their man. I mean, we don't know yet, but it doesn't... The fact he can't come out and deny it is not always good news, is it? That's it. Now, if you just throw a water bottle across the studio. hooligan. Right. I mean, what do you think about that, Dick Still? You can see why bigger teams might have their eye on him.
Yeah, I mean, he's only had one full season, but yeah, he's a good player. He's got a lot to improve on, of course he has, but he's a very good player. And it's getting to a point now where a lot of teams are... If I was a manager of another Championship side, and I know, right, okay, where can I get maybe a young, promising player really cheap, where the owner probably would sell for less than what he's valued for, and I'd be coming down here straight away. You look at, you know, likes of Aribo going, and what they've, and the sort of youth products we're developing, they know they might be able to get Anthony on the cheap. I don't know. I don't think, obviously, they've been given a price, but if someone's, like you say, if someone says, if Bo says, "Oh, I don't know," that to me says, if someone meets this price, he will go, whatever that price may be. And it'll be disappointing, because Anthony has, again, flourished, and it'll be nice to see him flourish here, but we've been in this situation many times before where he might end up leaving. And again, so we need 4 or 5 at the moment, but then if he leaves, we need 6. So it's like we go one step forward and take 2 steps back, it seems. So disappointing, but I think he's come on very well, Anthony, considering he started his career, so to speak, as a central midfielder or a defensive midfielder. I think he's done very well to keep someone like Solly out of the team.
Yeah. Obviously, we're going to be looking for incomings this week by Thursday's show. The window's actually closing at 5 o'clock on Thursday, so we won't have the excitement of last transfer window, no one signing during the show. But it was quite exciting to see if someone would. But Josh Parker signed soon after we got home. It was like, all right, okay. It's a shame we weren't still on air, really.
I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, so it'd be interesting. The only name we can put out there as a complete bit of speculation is there's a photo circulating that looks a little bit like Gary O'Neill in at the training grounds. He's like 36-year-old former West Ham man, so he may or may not have been at the training ground. So that'd be an interesting one. He's very old, but Boya obviously, obviously doesn't. If he's looking at him, he might just be keeping fit. It could be anything there, but I mean that's one name that's out there. Tom, would you welcome him as an addition to the squad?
We need bodies. He's another one that's going to add experience. And like Prattley, I'm sure he'd be a good person to have around. But he's not someone that's going to be starting week in, week out at the Championship, you wouldn't expect. He's got a lot of experience at this level. And there are certain games, you know, if we're going away to someone like Leeds, you would expect him to be able to do a job there.
That's at the end of the season. He might have retired by then.
About 50 by then. But no, I think, look, I'm not in. We're not in a position to turn many people down. But we just need bodies. We need at least two or three still in the midfield. And as Nath said earlier, we need another striker. We need someone to support Lyle. So he wouldn't be my first option to take up some of the wages we've got left. But at the same time, if we get to Thursday afternoon and we're not getting anybody else, then him and Callum are better than nothing. So
Yeah, again, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Callum. If anything will happen, it doesn't have to happen this week because he's a free agent, so it can happen whenever, as long as you become a free agent during the transfer window, which of course he did. Interesting to see if anything will happen with him. Right, we've got plenty of correspondence. You guys have had your say. Don't forget, if you still want to, you can email us studio@charltonlive.co.uk or you can tweet us at Charlton Live or head over to the Charlton Live forum to let us know what you made of yesterday's opening day win up there at Ewood Park against Blackburn Rovers. And don't forget, later on in the show, we've got Ben Hayes from the Charlton Athletic Museum coming on to let us know about an interesting event they're running here at the Valley and in Charlton on Tuesday evening. So we'll hear from Ben later on. But first of all, right, Graham saying, yesterday, the more he sees it, the more he thinks that Dick Steele could have done better with the header that led to the Blackburn Rovers goal. Even if it doesn't hit Phillips's head, he's just heading it right back across the goal. Thankfully, it didn't cost us today, but it's these little things that we need to improve on quickly. CFC are covered in. Mr. Dinage says, our speed of transition from attack to defence yesterday was hugely improved on last season, a lot quicker and very natural. That comes from increased fitness work and lots of practice. Evidence of a very well-organised coaching group. Benefits of having a smaller squad. Did you notice that? Do you think we transitioned back into a defensive shape quite well yesterday?
Yeah, I think when we got the ball, when we got ball deep, when we passed through the thirds fairly quickly, which we needed to. I mean, because we can't really start as soon as you start passing it around the back really slowly, you can let the other team get into shape. So I think, yeah, I can see where he's coming from in terms of the improvement from last year, and I think the fitness element's going to be really important this year, and because we are going to be coming up against a lot of fitter sides and to teams like Wimbledon and Rochdale. So, but yeah, it was a big improvement, and I think that will carry us well for the whole season.
Dan Farmer says, I can't remember much of the game. I missed the first goal, but that winner made up for it. Great day with all my Charlton family, and the atmosphere was amazing. Our fans keep getting better and better away from home. In Boya, we trust. Bring on Stoke, two wins out of two incoming. Yeah, Dan mentions the atmosphere. It's very strange the way they sort of had the Charlton fans up in the gods away from us, but you could hear them. Loads. I mean, the atmosphere sounded absolutely amazing from where we were sat. And you could tell, like the players always say, it spurs them on a little bit when you're away from home and you need to find that extra 10% or so. I imagine the noise they were making, it must have made a little bit of a difference yesterday.
Yeah, for sure. It was weird because they had the whole bottom tier empty, like you say, and they were just in this little corner. But there was, 1,077 of them, and they outsung Blackburn for the whole game, and I thought they were absolutely incredible. The whole game, still singing the Ale Ale. I don't know if they've changed it yet to the Reds are staying up, or if we're still saying going up, I don't know. But either way, they were fantastic yesterday, and it's a long old way. And it does help the players, and Bo says it more or less every week. He does say like a broken record, but it does help the lads. And then hopefully we have a good following for the rest of the year.
Yeah, Graham Russell says, just imagine the budget Roland will set when we get to the Premiership. Well, that's something to think about when the time comes. Will Bolland says there's 6 words to remember this season: believe in Boya and keep the faith. Those words have served us well over the years, haven't they, Will? So thanks for your thanks for your tweet. David Letchford: I don't know why so many thought the championship would be hard this season. We made it look easy yesterday, but to be fair, it was a fantastic to get off to a great start. Let's hope we can get 5 players in, 3 midfielders and 2 strikers, and I'm 100% convinced that we can stay up. Yeah, I mean, is that the sort of makeup of the players incoming, Tom, that you'd hope to be seeing strikers, midfielders? I mean, defensively, as long as if Dick still stays, we have got 2 for every position. If he goes, then debatable whether Solly and Oshilaja can play out there, yeah. Can't he? So I don't know if there's anyone out in the youth ranks Brandon maybe. Yeah, Brendan plays right back as well, doesn't he? So I mean, is that sort of the makeup of what you're hoping is going to come in there?
Yeah, definitely. I think if Dick still goes, we do need another right back personally. But yeah, at the moment, it's, if we're still getting 5, yeah, 3 midfielders and 2 strikers is probably what you're looking at the moment. Lyle's having to do it all himself up top. We haven't really got anyone alongside him anywhere. I know Chucks doesn't really play there, and McCauley said himself that he knows he's off the pace in terms of being a championship player, which is no discredit. I think we all expect that, so he's kind of one for the future, I guess. So we definitely need at least one up there. And then in the midfield, I think Jake, you know, possibly could be good enough once his fitness gets up to speed. Johnny Williams, we know, is good enough. But then you're looking around, again, you've got maybe an Ike when he comes back, and then everybody else is kind of either ageing or very, very young. So, yeah, I think we need some more clout in midfield. It'll be interesting to see how this Gallagher gets on as the season progresses, but we need a couple more, probably sort of 26 to 30-year-olds, someone with championship experience and with a bit of game time under their belt to come in and help shore that up, I think.
Right, Tony out in Spain says, listening on Valley Pass yesterday, it sounded like Blackburn had more possession but didn't really threaten the goal. The Addicts had more chances on goal, defended well when needed, and had the never give up attitude, which helped us along with the Charlton faithful that never stopped singing. I think that's a pretty fair reflection. You obviously did a good job on commentary because he saw what was going on through your commentary. So,
thanks, mate.
No, it's all right. I was just
trying to big me up.
Yeah,
oh, shit.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Pride comes before a fall. Robert Addison says, don't forget to mention the new Only Fools and Horses inspired chant. So I'm assuming
I've seen that.
Robert's referring to this tweet from Ray Bates. Ray, one of the chaps who came out on the bike ride to Amsterdam with us. He's the guy with the two with the big dogs as well. He's got like 3 or 4 dogs, isn't he? So yeah, you don't want to mess with him. So everyone laugh at this, but it is quite funny, to be fair. So you would have seen that in the Sun newspaper Friday, Saturday. Bowie was talking about how he feels like Del Boy trying to sort of wheel and deal his way to having a full squad, and then the Sun mocked up these amazing photos of Jacko and Boya as Del Boy and Rodney. And then Ray Bates has taken a step further, saying, stick a contract in my pocket, get young Jacko in the van, because if you want the best ones and you don't ask questions, then brother, I'm your man. Where it all comes from is a mystery, but Steve Gallen keeps on finding them and bringing them to me. Who's the one that's driving me berserk? A lunatic from a Belgian town named Antwerp. Very good there, Ray. Only falls in us. We've got the Rodney Charlton Trotter flag that follows Charlton away now as well. So, yeah, that shows pulsing through the veins of the club at the moment. Mike Clifford said, sadly, I couldn't get the stream here in the States, but he did sound exciting from listening to the commentary. You should be able to get that stream out there in America, Mike, on the Valley Pass. So it'd be worth contacting the club to try and find out why that didn't work. Liz Edwin said she was looking forward to the show from Ireland. I hope you're enjoying it, Liz. Shinpad said, he's talking about the stream again. That's just some technical. That's basically just some IT support there, which doesn't need to be read out on the show. Shinpad does say he looks good, talking about Gallagher, and Boya hasn't even had the chance to work with him yet. It sounds like Gallen spends his time watching the under 23 leagues, so if he rates him, then that's good enough for me. Yeah, I mean, this, like I say, I mean, the name of Conor Gallagher was one I hadn't heard until during the week, because I was saying to someone yesterday, you have to be a real geek to watch the Chelsea under 23s and know all the players. But obviously Steve Gallen does do that level of homework, and there will be some gems that you can unearth in those Premier League development leagues.
Yeah, you can. I mean, if you look at Josh Cullen would have been there at one point, and obviously, like we've had before, and Mavididi and Nketiah for Arsenal, they would have been at those sort of levels at one stage, and they've obviously gone on to to do better things. So, and they're the sort of, that's the market we're in at the moment, because we're not going to be able, we're not going to have a budget to go out and buy players for lots of money. So we're relying on bigger clubs in bigger academy categories to lend us some players. And it's quite sensible, really, for Gallen to go out and look and know the market really well to see, because they'll know what players we need, and he'll have to try and find those players that fit that criteria.
Right, old man Charlton, evening, old man. I think he's part of that right side mob, isn't he, old man Charlton? But he says, yes. George Lapsley was my boy yesterday. He knew every blade of grass. He was everywhere on that park, so much like the boss when he was playing. Now, that's a compliment if ever you want to get one, Tom, isn't it, to be compared to the great Lee Bowyer. And but yeah, like we mentioned George earlier, he has those energy levels that I think will actually prove even more important this season than perhaps they did last season.
Yeah, and we spoke a lot towards the end of last season, I think maybe even Thursday, about him and Albie, and the chance of Albie going out on loan probably, and that little bit more experience that Lapsley has had in terms of games. But as I say and said earlier, you know, he's only played one season really with us, but he's come on so much in such a short space of time, and what he offers us now for the type of games that we're going to have at this level, I think it's so much more crucial. I think last year we didn't really need him too much because we tended to go ahead in games, and we were looking more at the creativity. And you take somebody else like Nabs, who we discussed earlier, that's why someone like him was so good at that level. But stepping up now, we need players that can firefight, that can just, you know, get in the way of players and get those little tackles in and just break play up. And I think he's so good at doing that. And again, I don't want to have to rely on him for a whole season. It goes back to the whole Carlin thing when we first had him. You know, you want somebody else in there so that he doesn't have to play week in, week out for 90 minutes a game, because he is still young. But what he can offer the side, I definitely think, is going to be beneficial to us this year.
Tom Bramley says, a brilliant dogged performance from the lads yesterday and a thoroughly deserved 3 points. Pearce and Purrington, the standouts for me. If Bowyer can get another three or four players in, then who knows how well we could do this season. Yeah, we haven't really mentioned Piercy too much, but he was his usual self yesterday. And, you know, a leader. I mean, there was one superb, I think, challenge he had over by the touchline where he got over, and there was another one where he got... one came in quite hard on him in the first half on the near side, and he just got up, sort of shook hands with the bloke, he did it and carried on, because, you know, he's a warrior, isn't he, Piercy?
Yeah, I thought it was a good battle between him and Gallagher yesterday. They were giving each other a bit of afters after, which, and then I think he was giving a bit to the crowd and trying to wind
former
the
club Wigan
down.
Man, of course, yeah. So I imagine there's some sort of rivalry there. Yeah.
But yeah, no, for me, Piercy was my man in a match, followed by Lockyer for me, and he was unreal yesterday. Like Bo said in his post-match, everything that was thrown at him and Lockyer dealt with, and yeah, it was just an absolute rock yesterday. And it's just, you just know what you're going to get with PSE and obviously Lockyer now. You know, not a lot of people are going to win their individual battles against them, and it's a privilege to obviously watch. And then all the youngsters coming through can just see the determination and, you know, the effort and the work rate that PSE and that puts in, and it'll always go to be sort of inspiring to them.
All right, Glove Pups tweets in that we gave the ball away early on through unforced errors yesterday, but the lads worked hard. We stole the 3 points. We took the chances. We need more bodies quickly. If we battle like that, we will run out of steam. Not going to be pretty at times, but it's a great start, a great team effort, and a great bunch of lads. Connor Thompson says we're going to finish 14th or above. Mm-hmm. That'll be perfect for me. Valley Floyd Fred says Lee Bowyer, Jacko and Marshall and Gallen are the reason we will stay up. If we can get four loan signings, which are at that level that Gallagher looked yesterday, I think we will finish a few spots above the drop. I believe that Bowyer and his management team hold their own and stay patient until the owner moves on. They will take us back to the promised land, whether that's another Wembley performance like 98 or 2019, or if we run this league ragged. This is Bowyer's world and we live in it. In seasons to come, if he somehow did it this season, everyone should name their kids after Bowyer and give the man a knighthood. Is that, are you going to name your kids after Bowyer, Tom?
No.
Freddie
Olverstad.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Freddie Saunders.
I was going to say.
No.
Name your kid after Freddie. Well, if you just call him Freddie, I'll know who it's after, really. Don't you worry. Right. Ben says, I've always said this, but I genuinely don't fear relegation. So many teams will underestimate us and will find it hard to break us down. A few more additions to the middle of the pitch and we'll be on the cusp of the top half. Cappuccino says, good to see Ashley Maynard Brewer turning out for Dulwich Hamlet in another 2-1 win yesterday as they beat the Tonbridge Angels. Yeah, Ash has gone out on loan to Dulwich, so that's good to see that he's on the winning side there. John Pitchers, hopefully we will have enough to stay up, but we shouldn't count our chickens. Next week, for example, we're up against a £21 million strike force. It is sickening, isn't it? Like, we're moaning about the £5 million that Blackburn spent on Sam Gallagher. Doesn't look like money well spent after yesterday, of course. But, you know, it's ridiculous the amount of money that's floating around in the Championship that we don't have any. strange timing. So, John, cheers for that from John Pitchers. James Moynard, another one of the Amsterdam crew, says, if we can get four more decent loans in, then yes, Boya, yes, we will stay up. Boya, Jacko and Marshall will install the fight and desire that will win us the points. And I certainly hope that James is correct there. Bill Hendricks, we 100% need quality loans. I was there yesterday and it was a great day, but it's a long season and we will need more to survive. Also, recommend Aldi cider for £1.80. Barely remember getting home. Well, there you go. Clearly money well spent there on your Aldi cider. I saw there were some funny videos of those chaps on the way home yesterday. There's one of Mark Anderson singing Lyle is Lyle.
Oh, I see that with your son.
Okay, right? There. All fueled by Audi.
No one's forgot what they're doing. Is it just like a drink that just makes you forget everything?
Yeah, because
I have to purchase.
Audi, they really ought to be paying for this free advertising we're getting. CFC Poll says that Blackburn had 62% possession and only 2 shots on goal. Charlton had 38% possession and 5 shots on goal. So sounded like it was, I guess, in terms of us sort of being more clinical in terms of creating chances. What's that? I can't read this name. S. McLennan. Right. McLennan's S. McLennan. There we go. It's all in one word on the Twitter account. It's quite, yeah. I'd love to see us top 8 in January and see how the greedy rat responds. Would he chuck some money at us for the try and go to the Premier League or just leave us and Boya hanging like now? But I think we'll be safe 14th to 18th. Yeah, Matt Broad says definitely we'll be okay. London Innickies, players will have to be on it for every second of every game to stay up. Blackburn are a mid-table team in my book, but you could see them. The difference in class between them and a League One team. Desperately need more numbers in, but was impressed by Gallagher in his 20-minute appearance. Connor Thompson says, exactly, we've got to have that Charlton mentality we've had all of last season of just pure positivity. We know we have it in us. We can't wait to be back in our seats as we started last season. And London Eagles are now another one who's there with the right side mob. Says, to be fair, with the Oak boys off their nut on Aldi cider, Aldi again. then it's going to be a fun ride this Championship lark. The train was rocking on the way home. Quiet carriage, you're having a laugh. And then it highlights the stats. I mean, there's a tweet going around, you know, we've now won 4 league games in a row. If you don't count the playoffs, you count the league games. We've only lost 1 in our last 16, 2 defeats in the last 22, 21 wins in our last 32, 4 wins in our last 5 away games. Obviously, that was most of those coming in a lower division, but it's great momentum to have going into the first sort of opening stages of this campaign. David Nichols says, yes, we will stay up. Loan signings will be key, and Roland selling up before January window would be massively increasing our chances. Our midfield needs bolstering and another striker, as if Lyle got injured, we'd be in trouble. Great start, though, and it will hopefully help with this week's income. As Dan Ridgen says, I think there is too much passion in the team to let that happen in terms of us going down. With Boya and JJ at the wheel and players like Taylor and Prattley, I can't see us going down, to be honest. Alex Rogan says, glad the bookies have chosen us as favourites to go down. Boya's fighting spirit is infectious, and no matter who he has in his squad, he'll get 110% out of them as players. Yesterday was a prime example of how belief and togetherness in a squad can get you 3 points. Dave Kitchen is saying, if Bournemouth, Southampton, Leicester and Sheffield United can make the steady rise, then so can we. One more week of the Gallen effect and we shall see. Fingers crossed. Richard Justham says, always felt it wasn't about Billick and Cullen returning, but getting new stars. Gallagher looks good. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we know we have got to replace these players. And Gallagher, if he can prove to, you know, it's early days yet, we've seen him for 20 minutes, but if he can make an impact like those lone players we had last year were, I mean, that could be huge for us. If we didn't have the likes of Billick, Cullen, so, you know, like we saw coming in the last week of the window last year, we wouldn't have gone up. So it's all to play for this week, isn't it? If we can get some unearthed quality players.
Yeah, I mean, if we've cast our mind back to the Sunderland game last year, we didn't even fill the bench. And you look at, if you compare the side that played against Sunderland to the team at Wembley, it's chalk and cheese. So if there's a lot of work to be done, we know that, and we do need some players in. I think Connor may feel the sort of role of maybe what Josh did. He does look like a similar sort of player, and obviously we need someone like a Billy, like a strong person, and someone with like a Rebo can run with a ball through midfield. So, but yeah, I think we've got a lot of time, and Gallen and Bowie have shown the sort of players that they can bring through, so I think we'll be fine, providing that they get given the money.
Update from Dan Farmer: boys, trust me, stay away from the Aldi cider, it smelt like petrol.
Is that why I can't remember it?
What did it taste like there? Did it taste like petrol? I don't know.
Might have to, I'm
going Aldi on the way home. I know we've got Lidl in West Wickham. I'm going to have to find an Aldi somewhere.
Yeah, see if anyone had a Lidl cider.
Yeah, well, if anyone wants to send some Aldi cider into the studio, maybe we'll do a show on it one week.
I am driving.
Yeah.
I won't.
Yeah, well, yeah. Seb Lewis says, just three words after Blackburn yesterday: perfect away day. Certainly was. Vital Charlton, what a win that was yesterday. After that victory, I'm really confident we can beat Stoke on Saturday. Once these new signings are here, there's no telling how good we can really be. It is fun, isn't it? How we're all getting carried away, ourselves included, after one game. You know, an away game where we've played a certain way. But, you know, when we're playing at home, you have to play a different style, perhaps. You might be tempted to take the game to your opponents more. So that'll be interesting to see if we can adapt to that. But I'm loving the fact that we're all getting carried away after one game, and we are going to win the championship, possibly with a record points total. Mark Brooks said, I saw highlights of the game, plus West Brom and Leeds games. Not seen anything we should be afraid of. Could be 85, 86 all again. Promotion in the face of adversity. See, Mark's on the same page as me. We're definitely winning the league. We have 110 points. Bill Greenall said, I'd check if there's any Aldi cider in Nathan's water bottle, to be honest.
Oh, yeah. I've been starting a lot of stumble bum, haven't I?
Yeah.
A little bit.
And then threw the bottle at me.
And then I threw the bottle at you. Just, yeah. I've been on the Stella.
It's going to go out.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks, mate. Looking forward to Adele singing lessons.
Yeah. Phil says, hi, all. Unbelievable that we won at Blackburn. I didn't expect that at all. Excellent start. Hopefully with 4 or 5 quality loans incoming. Perhaps even I will believe we'll stay up. I'm away this week, Louis, so no scoots from the training ground for me. Oh, he's just giving his secret identity away there. Basically, Phil lives near the training ground and walks his dog down the path that goes past the training ground, and basically he's always saying, oh, so-and-so's here, so-and-so's not here. And he was the one who spotted that we signed the lad from Chelsea the other day, which is how I knew. There you go, I'll let you behind the curtain there. And Lawrence sort of says, hi guys, what a game yesterday. We are going to upset a few people like that this season. We pulled together and did what was required. We need players desperately. I really hope we sign Callum Harriott and not let our right back go. Also, shout out to our drummer. He will be vital at games, keeping the fans going at times this season. And all round, it was a great day yesterday. And that's from Lawrence Sauter. It certainly was. But we're going to have a quick break here on Charlton Live. When we come back, we've still got your emails to read. We're also going to hear from Ben Hayes from the Charlton Athletic Museum to tell us all about the exciting event they've got coming up here in Charlton on Tuesday Eve.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Going to break for Vetticelli again in the area. Cross ball to Taylor! It's 3-1! And Charlton are running away with it here at the Valley!
Charlton Live.
Welcome back. It's Charlton Live here on your Sunday evening. We'll be back on Maritime Radio next week, next Sunday. If I'm being totally honest, I completely forgot to tell them the season had started, which is why they weren't ready to take us this evening. So we're only going out on the Charlton Live website tonight, and of course on your podcast feeds. Most of you listen via the podcast after the show, Acast, iTunes, anywhere you find us on your podcast feeds. Just press subscribe. The more people subscribe, the better it is for us. We don't get much from this, but Acast give us a tiny bit of money, which pays for the new equipment, for example, that we're using this week. It'll pay for maybe once a year we'll go and sponsor the women's team a game or something like that. We'll give some money to the Upbeats. We tend to, you know, the more of you that subscribe and download, it's not much, but we get a little bit more, not enough to take money home for us, but it's enough to just keep us ticking over and to donate some money to some good causes as well. So make sure you hit that subscribe button. Keep listening to us every week. Make sure you download every week, and we'll be here for you for the entire season as Charlton roar their way to 110 points in the championship. We've got a couple of emails. Heather McKinley, now she's someone who set Lyle Taylor a challenge, and that challenge now has been achieved. Last season, Heather writes, I wrote a piece on Lyle Taylor for the Away Fans page in the AFC Wimbledon programme. In it, I mentioned that my Don's mate had warned me when we signed Taylor that he liked to play a few too many back heels, mostly unsuccessful. I retweeted the article a while later, and Lyle picked up on this comment, so I challenged him to score a back heel goal, and he accepted. Yesterday, finally, he did it with me peering down from the top tier. I thanked him on Twitter, to which he responded, hashtag mission complete. What an absolute star we have for a centre forward. I do wish he would sign a new contract. And that's from Heather McKinley. We had Heather on the show last year, of course, as well. Yeah, Lyle Taylor. What a man. And that contract offer still hasn't been signed. Same with Dixter, of course. You know, I mean, we're not seeing too many players sign new contracts, are we, at the moment, Tom? And you kind of understand why, and you just hope that they do, because obviously, you know, with the situation the club's in, you probably can get better contract offers elsewhere, and that's probably the reason why people don't sign yet. They don't want to tie themselves down when they don't need to, because if a takeover happens in a month's time, then all of a sudden someone will give Lyle Taylor a much better contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's not going to happen, but if it did, it would be nice. But I completely agree. I think if we were to finish, I don't know, top six, maybe even top eight or something at the end of this year, and he's still in charge, maybe they would consider staying anyway, just given the atmosphere around the club. But realistically, we're looking at a bottom half finish at best, the upper half of that.
Sorry, have you not been listening?
Bottom tier.
110 points.
And, you know, if that's the case, if Lyle Taylor bangs in 10 to 15 goals, maybe even more through this season, if Jick still continues to get other people interested, then I don't see why they would choose to stay here. Then, you know, it's a job at the end of the day for them. They don't necessarily owe us anything at that point. So, and you'd imagine they could get more money, as I say, probably get more money, even dropping back down to League One, although obviously they're not going to be doing that quality-wise, but yeah, I wouldn't be signing a new contract if I was them. It's frustrating, but that's where we are, unfortunately.
Right, Mark Newbury emails in, evening chaps. Well, I don't think Blackburn will be underestimating us again. I can't see many teams having the same work ethic that Boya is installing into our players, and the advantage of everyone writing you off is that other teams will do the same. I'm glad we started with Dills in goal, and if they manage to get to the close of the transfer window without any serious departures, we might be fairly set for a middling season. As always, I have faith in Gallen to pick up a bargain to help the squad. I'll be back in my old season ticket seat next week after a year's hiatus, and looking forward to a positive season and Roland finally seeing sense and selling us at a reasonable price. But I'm not holding my breath for that. That's cheers for Mark. And Mark's also saying hopefully he's going to get back into the studio. Yeah, Mark's had a year off to concentrate on having a couple of children, which is, you know, not the sort of commitment I expect from you two, just letting you know that. But yeah, no, of course, Mark, when you're ready, you're more than welcome to come back into the Charlton Live studio. Right, Elizabeth Green, really enjoyed the game, a rather scrappy affair, but we kept fighting and deserved the win. It's just Roland that's holding us back. Let's hope we get a few loan signings in to give us a bit more depth. Thank goodness for Lee Bowyer. Looking forward to hear what you boys have to say about the game. That's from Elizabeth Green. Thanks for your email, Elizabeth. Yeah, it was scrappy, and at one point during the first half, maybe 25 minutes into it, whoever was doing Radio 5 Live She was on her phone, and she wrote a message to hold up to the person sat behind me in the press box. And all I could see, it just said on the screen, "This game is rubbish." And I was like, "Well, yes, that's what we've come here to do. We've come here to make the game rubbish and to nick it, and that's what we did." Right, we've got an email here from Moritz from Germany. "I watched the game live on Valley Pass. Good work for Nathan and Greg." Oh, that's nice, Nath.
Who's that?
That's from Moritz.
Oh, thank you very much, Moritz.
And it's great to see that we can win in very difficult circumstances. We still need the final additions to the squad, and I can't wait to see the squad at the end of the transfer window. We're definitely competitive, so I think we will finish at least 14th. If the takeover happens before the next transfer window, we might even push for the playoffs. I mean, why not? Has Lee ever let us down? Of course he has not. Keep up the good work. And he says, "Greetings from Bottrop." I assume that's the name of the town and not some sort of nickname or something. Bottrop. I don't know. Yeah, that's Morris. Cheers for email. And Daniel Basham, "Good evening from a wonderful playoff spot." Yeah, we're third at the moment, aren't we? Yeah, I mean, a bit lower than I was hoping to be, but you know, I'll deal with it for now. It was so good listening to the commentary again. Nothing beats the 90 minutes of utter stress on a Saturday afternoon. Fantastic start to the season. We do need tell back, though. There wasn't enough of Nathan slagging the ref off. So there you go, Nath. If you want to really fill tell's boots, you have to go with an agenda against all referees.
Yeah, we did do it once, and we said, right, we don't want to like just pretend that we're Terry, because Terry does love a bit of a moan, doesn't he?
Yeah.
But to be fair, the ref, it was a bit annoying at some points, but there weren't like anything that I can remember that was really bad.
Yeah, championship level ref, clearly. Daniel continues, "Bring on Stoke. We need to be behind the boys regardless of the score. We have a team of fighters. We can fight with them. They need to know they have our backing no matter what. We do need more players by Thursday to beat the drop, I think, but I trust Steve Gallen and Lee Bowyer to do it. Up the Reds and up the S-housery." That was one way of describing yesterday's performance. A little bit of S-housery, if you know what I mean. Brian Cole was the final email for now. "Evening, chaps. A big shout out to all the fans at Ewood yesterday who did so much to get behind the team. The drums were banging away throughout, and it was great to join in from about 1,000 feet away in the sky in the away end. Still plenty of work to do, but Lee will get the job done once again." Certainly will. And that's hugs from Brian Cole. Looking forward to see you back here at the Valley on Saturday, Brian. Right, let's turn our attention to Tuesday night. There's an exciting event happening here in Chelten at the Valley and in Chelten Village, being put on by the Chelten Museum. I spoke to Ben Hayes, noted cardigan wearer, earlier on this afternoon, to find out a little bit more about what they've got planned for this Tuesday.
So on the 6th of August, which is this coming Tuesday, there's an event starting at the Valley and then concluding at the White Swan Pub in Chelten Village, called The Boys from the Village, The History of Chelten Athletic at War. And that's been hosted by the Chelten Athletic Museum and the Football and Work Network, which is a body which has been set up by the University of Wolverhampton. So we're really pleased to be working with such a big academic organisation. And this is the third of these events. There's been one in Dulwich and one in Exeter, but we were quite keen to host one as well. So we're going to start off with having the museum open in the afternoon from about 4 o'clock. And then at 6 o'clock, we have a new memorial being dedicated to Jeff Reynolds, who was a Chelten player who died during the Battle of Normandy it's actually 75 years ago today, on the 4th of August. So the event has been scheduled for this week because of that anniversary. We then got a blitz walk from the Valley up to the White Swan with Clive Harris and Steve Honeysett, which is going to be really interesting. I've seen their notes. They're both professional tour guides, battlefield guides. And Steve Honeysett in particular really knows about the blitz in this part of London. So I learned an incredible amount just reading his notes. So that's going to be leaving the Valley at 6:15 and ending up at the White Swan by about 7:30. And this is all free, by the way. There's no charge for any of it. And then when we get to the White Swan, in the upstairs room, they let us have the upstairs room. There's going to be three talks by different people. The first one's by myself, and I'm quite glad I'm going first because I don't have to follow Steve and Clive, who do this professionally. But I'm going to be telling a bit more about Jeff Reynolds, Chelten's forgotten Normandy hero. Not forgotten now, but now we've got the memorial at the Valley. And then Steve's going to be talking about Jim McKenzie. And Jim McKenzie was the first secretary of Chelten Athletic back in 1905, 1906. So it's his name, the one in the local papers, to say if you want any games, contact Jim McKenzie of East Street and we'll arrange a fixture with you. And then Clive is doing a more general talk. Clive Harris is doing a more general talk about Charlton Athletic and Charlton and the Great War, and how the Great War and the rise of Charlton Athletic just after the Great War impacted on the area. And at the same time, in a separate room, we got a filming of an animation called Sam Barcher and the Blitz and Beyond, which some people may have seen on YouTube. It's a chance to see it on a big screen. We should be finished by about 10 o'clock and the bar will be open.
It sounds really interesting. Obviously, I mean, there's that famous image of the Charlton Athletic ground during a match during the war with the air raid warden looking up into the sky. I guess it's easy to forget nowadays that the Great War would have affected everyone in London and in the country at that time, and therefore Charlton would have been no exception at that time.
Absolutely. That famous picture of the air raid warden, that's the Charlton v Arsenal game. Yet there's only a few thousand people in the ground because of the war. Before the Second World War, that would have been 70,000 people there, because a lot of people would have been away serving in the armed forces, or they would have been working in the munitions factories. And it's easy to forget now that the whole south side of the river, from Charlton down to Woolwich, was very industrial, and it was a prime target for the Luftwaffe, as no doubt Steve Honeysett will tell you when he does the Blitzwalk. And the covered end's roof was itself bombed, and you can see in some of the post-war photos there's still a hole in the roof where they haven't repaired it. And the First World War equally had a huge impact on all of society. Clive Harris would argue that it's the most, has had more impact on society than any other war, especially certainly modern war, in terms of the changes in society and the changes in demographics, and he's going to talk about that.
And you mentioned, of course, the new memorial to Jeff Reynolds as well, and you say you're going to give a talk on him. How interesting was it researching his past and his history? Because obviously before this week you said you described him as a forgotten war hero.
He was, up to a couple of years ago. We'd never heard of him, and the museum were lucky enough to get a lot of Colin Cameron, the club's late statistician's papers, and I was sorting through these papers, and there was a list of players that he'd drawn up for different publications elsewhere, of players who died in the Second World War, and there was this name, Jeff Reynolds, in brackets, Colin the Charlton player, and we'd never heard of him. He wasn't in the Valiant 500, so then it became a bit of a chase to find out who was this player, where was he, why do we not know anything about him. And luckily, through historic records, through Torquay Football Club, because he went to play for Torquay for a while, he also played for York City, and they both, these clubs, knew more about him than we did, so that was really useful. But also in our own records, when we actually started looking, we found his index card. Before computers, you know, people's records were kept on small cards, you know, 5 by 3 inches, and all the details and addresses and their wages. And we've got hundreds of these cards for players going back to the 1920s up until about the 1980s, when I presume. And one of these is for Jeff Reynolds. And it's some of those images I actually use in the presentation I'm going to be doing on Tuesday night at the White Swan.
So obviously it's going to be a really interesting historical evening event for Charlton fans. So if people do want to come, you say it's free, do they need to sign up, or can they just turn up on Tuesday?
People can just turn up. We'd love to know if people can let us know they're coming. Just gives us an idea of how many people are turning up. But it's free. You can just turn up either at the dedication, which is 6 o'clock at the Valley, or you can come on the war walk, which is 6:15 from the Valley, or you can just turn up at the White Swan, which should be starting about 7:45. But you can come on all or any of those as you choose, whichever ones you fancy doing. It's all free. We will be passing the hat around so that people think it's worthwhile and it's been useful. Then all that money goes back in to help fund the museum, which, as you know, it's an independent museum. We don't get any funding from the club. And all the money we do get, we generate ourselves. So it is always appreciated.
So there we go, Ben Hayes from the Charlton Athletic Museum there. The event is going to be here at the Valley and in Charlton Village on Tuesday evening. That is the boys from the village, the history of Charlton Athletic at war. Ben Hayes is going to be there, as is Clive Harris and another notable historian. So if you're into that sort of stuff, I imagine it'll be really interesting. Make sure you come along. I hope you enjoy it. Right, Cliff Scales has tweeted in, brilliant result yesterday. Looking forward to Saturday against Stoke. Their squad is worth £115 million to ours, which is worth £5.5 million. It just shows what we are up against this season. But with Boya, Jacko and Gallen, we will prove these bookies wrong. Yeah, so it's interesting to see those valuations going around of the squad. I imagine they probably come from like the transfer market website. So, I mean, how you actually decide how much someone is worth. Someone is only worth how much they're willing to pay for it. But, of course, you know, it's a gauge and it shows that there is a huge difference in between our squad and some of the squads that are in this division. I mean, we've only got a couple of minutes left, so we won't go too much into a new topic. But just talking about, you know, staying up this season, it's still going to be a long shot. I mean, like I say, once even after we've got 110 points, I mean that would have proved the bookies wrong. But if we stay up this season, I mean, that'll be a great result, and it's not going to be easy. But the Championship is a division where anyone can beat anyone on their day, and we're hopefully. I mean, it's only Blackburn Rovers yesterday, and someone mentioned earlier on the tweets. I mean, they did look a good side in terms of possession, and there was a clear difference between what you get in League One and what you get in the Championship yesterday. But we saw, you know, we've adjusted to an extent. It's one game in. Let's not get carried away. But we made it work for us, Nath.
Yeah, we alluded to it on Thursday, saying the home form's going to be key this year. If we can get a good home record and try and nick something away from home, we're not going to win as many games. But yeah, it's. I mean, in terms of the squad, in terms of the valuations and that, yeah, at the end of the day, it's 11v11. And like Tom said earlier, it's a league where anyone can beat anyone. You look at Leeds last year, they started fantastic and then they tailed off. So anything's possible with this league. But I'm confident that we'll stay up, and that's before we announce all of these amazing signings by Thursday.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I mean, if you look at, for example, the statistics from yesterday's game, and like you say, you know, obviously we've given up possession. When it's a home game next week, Tom, and obviously we'll preview this more thoroughly on Thursday evening, we are going to probably play a different style. So that's, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how we adapt next week.
Yeah, and especially because we can't adapt too much in terms of personnel. You'd hope Anike might be back, but you don't want to rush him back either. So, yeah, it is going to be a different style. Probably going to try and take the game a little bit more to the opposition. You would hope try and retain the ball a little bit better. Hopefully there'll be quite a good crowd down here as well. Obviously, first proper league game back since that night against Doncaster. So, yeah, it's going to be different. And these first 4 or 5 weeks, really, it's just about testing the water of this new league and seeing what we're up against. Because we say all this and we talk about the bookies and we talk about the budget and everything else. But actually, if we start to play a few more games and realise that we can compete, because yes, possession was different yesterday, but we competed and we beat them fair and square, then, you know, maybe, middle of the table, maybe that's not such an impossible task.
Right, there we go. We've run out of time on this evening's Charlton Live. Thanks to all of you who have listened live or via the podcast. Thanks to those of you who have emailed or tweeted in or put a message on the message board as well. Us three are off for a few cans of Aldi cider, I think.
Must come in plastic bottles,
yeah,
surely.
Yeah, we'll get ourselves some of that. Tom and Nate, thanks for coming in.
Much love.
I've been Louis Mendez. Thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Thursday night with a big match preview ahead of next week's home game with Stoke. We look forward to speaking to you then as we start to enjoy the rest of our 110 point season here in the Championship. We'll see you on Thursday.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best. the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.